how has this influenced, if at all, our current president?
Yeah, Bowens has influenced George W. Bush, it seems. He seems to have relied on Bowens in many stages throughout his professional life for money, for connections. And since he became president, Bush has followed Bowens' agenda, which is to get members into positions of power. I mean, there's a long list of members. I'll just go through a few because
right.
I don't want to bore people. But one of his early appointments was Robert McCallum. He's now Associate U.S. Attorney General. And point about McCallum, in 2002, McCallum filed pleadings in U.S. District Court seeking to make information on presidential pardons more secret than in the past. So here's another Bonesman sort of contributing to secrecy in the government today. Surprise, surprise. Who else? There is Bill Donaldson, chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. He was actually once the director of the Deer Island Corporation, which runs that private island. Anyway, Bush tapped him for that. There's Edward McNally, the general counsel of the Office of Homeland Security. There's Evan Galbraith, the Secretary of Defense's representative in Europe, and on and on. And then it turns out that Frederick Smith, the founder of FedEx and a Bonesman, was reportedly Bush's top choice for Secretary of Defense, but Smith had to withdraw from consideration for health reasons. So Bush is pretty involved with Skull and Bones, as much as he likes to try to distance himself vocally from Yale, from Northeastern elite connections, from anything that's not, you know, down home Texas.
Would you consider it to be a very powerful organization, society?
Yes. Yes, in terms of its alumni network.
Yeah, the network is its strength, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, when you said it's got an endowment of $4 million, nowadays that doesn't seem like a lot of money.
No, that surprises a lot of people. People think that Skull and Bones is inordinately wealthy, and it's not. Skull and Bones only gets money from donations. That money that goes directly to the institution mainly goes to upkeep of the tomb, paying the cook, stuff like that. However, In Bones, basically, the money happens after graduation when members will directly pay other members if asked, whether they're investing in companies or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
And there's a lot of money behind them in terms of their families?
In many cases, yeah.
Now, when you said that they admit 15 a year, right?
Right.
That doesn't seem like a lot of people.
No, it's not. That's why it's so weird that two of them are running against each other for the presidency. Because
right.
If you count it out, basically it amounts to about 800 living members at any one time. So 2 out of 800 is a pretty high proportion.
Any idea what their real agenda is? I mean, are they supporters of a one-world government or anything like that?
No, and I know a lot of your listeners think that, but there is no political agenda in Skull and Bones. It's really just, let's get members into positions of power, get as wealthy and prestigious a roster of alumni as possible.
I was going to say there's a financial agenda here, right?
Sure, they want to get as much money as possible, yeah.